I hope you already have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, said Paul. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, but such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. For now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure, get this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, wrote Paul, then am I strong. Let's pray together. Father, thy word so often is piercing, searing, burning in its truth. And then, Father, we thank you that so often it is comforting, gentle, and plain in its relevance. Lord, catch all of us up here in this place of worship today in a spirit that is beyond dimensions of our understanding. Father, we, with our own sophistication, anticipate so much, are no longer shocked or moved, but we trust that in this hour, you will come and illumine and kindle afresh within us. For some it will be our consciences. For others it will be our attitudes. For others it will be our spirits. But Lord, come and deal individually, as well as a body, with all of our needs and all of our sins. Truly shape us and touch us. And we pray, dear Father, not vainly or in a perfunctory way, but we ask, O Lord, that you will speak. Let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy message and thy mind and thy will alone might not only be heard. Father, may we take the grains, the kernels of truth and apply them right where we live, right where we walk, right where we work. For this is our heart's desire and the passion of our praying as we ask it in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our scripture contains one of the strong my's in the Bible. It contains one of the precious promises that we hear so much about and apprehend so very little. I think it's interesting to observe that the thrust of our scripture are words spoken by Jesus. We would expect these words to be recorded in the Gospels, would we not? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the historical part of our scripture, or at least we'd find it in the history of the church in the book of Acts. But yet we find these words in the message of Paul, in his personal, spiritual diary, this intimate words. This autobiographical words, it seems like the old apostle is sort of just pulling back the veil for a moment and just sharing with us the intimacies of his heart. Now, we've spent a long time from many pulpits trying to decide what exactly the thorn in the flesh was that Paul had to contend with, live with, and deal with. And there are as many theories about what the thorn in the flesh was as there are commentaries and scholars. I wish I had time to pass out just about 50 or 75 commentaries that I've thumbed through this past week and let you just run down all the theories of what many biblical individuals believe this thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about really was. Some say that it was epilepsy. That Paul, along with many other great men like Julius Caesar, like Cromwell and others, was a victim of this debilitating disease. Other scholars say it wasn't epilepsy, but rather it was an eye disease. And they quote the scripture in Galatians, which says that Paul was writing with a large hand. And another place in Galatians where he says that the church at Galatia so loved him that they would have given him their eyeballs. So a lot of people surmise that Paul had some sort of eye problem or eye disease. Others say, and this is generally those of the Roman Catholic persuasion, that Paul's problem was carnality, was illicit visions that we would have and unseemly things that would denote a lustful nature in his life, and this was the thorn in the flesh. Others say that Paul had malaria, and they attribute a kind of malaria that was called Malta malaria. And it said that it brought with it not only high fever, but a burning headache. And they likened it unto taking a rod of iron and heating it pitch hot and just driving it through his temples. It would bring him right to the very brink of pain that would be absolutely unbearable for a human being. The other scholar said, you missed the boat in all this. The thorn in his flesh was his wife. Others would say it was a group of people who were always on to him, always criticizing, never responding, and backbiting against his ministry, and that was his thorn in the flesh. Others said it was elephantitis, and you can go on and on and on. But the truth of the matter is, brethren, nobody knows what Paul's thorn in the flesh really was. We can guess. We can surmise. We can say it was a crippling element. It was an emotional thing. But we don't know what it was, except we know certain characteristics that it had. Symptoms. It was debilitating. Evidently, it was constant, or at least it reoccurred, but I believe it was constant because it was an embarrassing ailment. Here all these handsome, strong, gifted men would speak about Jesus Christ, and here would come Paul, limping, or crippled, or blind, or whatever his problem might have been. Here would come Paul with his thorn in the flesh, having to apologize for it almost in our scripture. You know, I think that it's good that the Bible doesn't tell us what this thorn was. I think the Bible is wise in its reservations as it is wise in its revelations. Why, if I knew what Paul's thorn was, I would look at the thorny areas in my life, and you would look at the thorny areas in your life, you'd say, well, Paul, that's all Paul had to deal with. He ought to have to deal with what I have to deal with. Man, if I had that problem, the grace of God would be sufficient, but if that's all he had, I could stand up under that. So I think it's good that we do not know exactly what his physical problem was. Now let me point out in the beginning here a problem that we have in dealing with this passage of Scripture. Do you know what we do so many times? We jump right in the middle of verse 9 before we spend time in verse 8. Verse 8 is where Paul says, I prayed 3 times that this thorn might be removed. Now, a lot of us run over to my grace is sufficient, verse 9, before we tabernacle a while in verse 8. Because I am convinced that Jesus Christ is interested in wholeness. He is interested in health. He is interested in our emotional and physical and spiritual well-being. And therefore, so many times when a malady comes or a problem comes, we just jump around and say, oh, His grace is sufficient. And when we do this, we become almost stoic in our nature. Spend a while in verse 8 praying, beseeching, calling, pleading, crying. Get on praying ground. Because so many times when problems come and temptations come or whatever the thorn might be for you, it's just a chance, a divine opportunity for God to deal with you or with me in a unique way. And if we jump on and say, I'm just going to endure, I'm going to just draw from His grace without praying about it, earnestly beseeching God. And Paul's prayer was a prayer of precision. You talk about precision watches, precision bombing. This is precision praying. And when we pray, it's all right to say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, but He likes for us to spell it out. Be specific in your praying. Lord, help me with all of my problems. Spell it out. Lord, deal with my physical problems. Spell it out. Paul says, I prayed 3 times. I do not believe he just prayed 3 times, 1, 2, 3. I think he prayed over 3 periods of time. Sections of time. He prayed here, and he prayed here, and he prayed here, and he, in a continual way, prayed. He called upon the Lord. So don't be so rapid in jumping over to my grace is sufficient until we spend some time in verse 8 to see if this is what God wants to take place in your life and in my life. Who told Paul that he was to have to live with his thorn? Jesus did. Jesus did. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. This is the person to whom Paul was praying. And that is the reason when we pray, we always pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We always pray in His name. Just to say amen and to shut it down is not enough. Our entree to God, our only entree to God, the only basis of our praying to God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can mumble pious, righteous, unction-sounding words, but unless we pray through Him, He has to take our positions. He has to take our murmurings. He has to take what we say and interpret it by the Holy Spirit to the Father. So we pray in Jesus' name. And so Paul, there in verse 8, prayed and prayed and prayed, and he got an answer. People come to me all the time and say, I've prayed to God, and He hadn't answered my prayer. What they're really saying is, God said no. Because through Jesus Christ, those who are members of the family of God, He answers every prayer that you make and every prayer that I make. But sometimes He says no. And on three tremendous occasions or periods of time, God said through Jesus Christ to Paul about this malady, no, no, no. And He says no sometimes to you, and He says no sometimes to me in our petitions. Because the truth of the matter is, there are illnesses, there are thorns, there are problems. There are areas in your life and in my life we are going to have to live with, and we are going to have to call upon the grace of God. And for many people, there will never be physical or emotional or total healing in this life. That is going to be reserved for eternity and for the next life. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The longer I live, the more I am completely convinced that the distance between this life and eternity is just tissue thin. Just tissue thin. That's all that's between you and me and eternity is just a little cheap Kleenex. May even be wet. Tissue thin between this life and eternity. And the truth is, for some, we are going to have to live with our thorns. But don't resign yourself too much to that posture before you live in verse 8. But then when Christ said, no, 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 then He said, Paul, let me tell you something. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for you. Doesn't say my grace is sufficient for the thorn. That would have been logical, wouldn't it? It said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's a present sufficiency. You can't store up grace any more than those Israelites could have stored up manna in the wilderness. The grace comes just as you need it. The sufficiency, the grace of Jesus Christ comes not more than we need, not less than we need, not too late, not too early. It comes just at the right time with every beat of your heart, every tick of the clock. My grace is sufficient for you right now, not for tomorrow, just right now. Now, there are two great sufficients in the Bible. The first one is, sufficient unto you is the evil for this day. You know the passage? In other words, the word there is saying, don't worry about the evil of yesterday. Put it on the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't anticipate the problems of tomorrow. You've got enough evil right now for this day. It's sufficient for you to handle right now. And then the second great sufficient is this passage, my grace is sufficient for you right now. The evil is sufficient, but the grace comes, it's more than adequate for your situation right now. Is that too difficult to understand? Little lady came up to D.L. Moody. He was speaking in Milwaukee. And she said, "Dr. Moody, I want to say something to you. I want to ask you a question. Do you have enough grace to be burned at the stake?" Moody said, "No." She said, "Don't you wish you had enough grace to be burned at the stake?" He said, "No." He said, "I just wish I had enough grace to live here in Milwaukee for 3 days and to hold this meeting. That's all I need." One of the great martyrs knew that the next morning he was going to go out and be burned at the stake. He had one great fear in his life. That was the fear of fire. And he was praying in his cell and he saw a little candle over there and he said, "Oh Lord, I don't want to deny you tomorrow when they take me out to be burned." And so he went over to the candle and he put his finger in the flame and he pulled it back and cried out in pain. And he said, "Oh Lord, I know I'm going to deny you. I can't take the flames." But history records he went out and they tied him to the stake and they put the wood around him. They set fire to it all the time. He was singing hymns and quoting scripture and he was preaching, introducing Jesus Christ to the throne. You see, his grace was sufficient to him for that day, for that occasion. Not the night before. Just right then when it took place. His grace was sufficient. A fellow saved his money all of his life and wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. He went into the dealership there and he said, "How much is a Rolls Royce?" They priced it. He found out everything about it. He said, "There's one thing I can't find out about a Rolls. What's the horsepower of this particular engine?" The salesman looked through all the pamphlets and bulletins. It didn't say. Called the sales manager in. He didn't know. And finally, they sent a telegram to England. Is that where Rolls Royces are made? I asked in the 8:30 service. Part of them said France, England, Spain. It wasn't a very affluent crowd. And does anybody? This is worst group here. They got a. Where are they made? England? Is that right? Boy, a lot of people know. I had no idea. In England. And so they sent a telegram to England and said, "How many horse, what's the horsepower of a Rolls Royce engine?" And the telegram came back and the answer was one word. Adequate. If you're in the mountains pulling up a hill, it's adequate. If you're in the desert with a burning sun, it's adequate. If you're pulling a heavy trailer or load behind you, that Rolls Royce engine, it's adequate. And that's what this verse says. My grace is adequate. It is sufficient for you. Right now. For where you are, where I am, with the thorns that are burning and searing and torturing many people right here who are so sophisticated in this worship service. My grace is sufficient for you. Enough, adequate, right now. For where you are and what you need. Where I am and what I need. You know, actually in this scripture, there's almost a little bit of humor here. Have you ever thought about humor in this passage? Jesus Christ is saying to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you with that malady, with that thorn in your flesh." It's almost like, well, it's like the ocean saying to a little boy on the beach, "Don't worry, son, I've got enough water here to fill your bucket." It's like a cornfield saying to a little mouse there, "Now don't you fret, I've got enough here to feed you." It's like a man on top of a mountain taking little short breaths because he's afraid he's going to breathe up all the air. And the air is saying, the atmosphere is saying, "Breathe deeply, I've got plenty of air for you to breathe." And here's the Apostle Paul with his
thorn in the flesh. And here's the omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful Son of God in Jesus Christ saying, I've got plenty, I'm adequate, I'm sufficient for your thorn in the flesh. And he's adequate for you. And he's adequate for me. He's sufficient. Never too much, never too little. Never too late, never too early. Just with every tick of the watch and every beat of the heart, when we're in tune with him, he comes back and says, I'm adequate. Well, Lord, I'm adequate. You don't know about my situation. I'm adequate. My grace, my adequacy is all encompassing for you and for me. That's the word here. That's the truth here. And that's the power that's here. And then you remember what happened? Paul then said, my weakness, my weakest point, this thorn in the flesh, has become my strength. Do you know I've spent 20 minutes already? Don't look at your watches. Unnerves me. 20 minutes trying to say just that one thing. Do you firmly believe that your weakest point, do I believe that my weakest point can become the very strongest point in your life and in my life? It can. You see, when I can make it myself, when I'm strong enough, smart enough, when I endure enough, when I'm intelligent enough, I can make it myself. I can just run my own life. But when I'm knocked down to my knees, when that thorn is just painful there, whatever it is, whatever form it is, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, somebody else, something inside, past or present, when I can handle all that, that's one thing. But when I come to the point that I'm flat on my face and I've bottomed out, and there's emptiness and loneliness and depression and defeat, and I've prayed and prayed and I don't have any answer, but finally the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, my grace is sufficient for you, then I have a chance in my weakness to do what? To show off the strength of Jesus Christ. It gives a chance for Jesus Christ to show off his power, his grace, and his love. What is grace anyway? Grace and love at the bottom are the same thing. Grace and love at the bottom are the same thing. At the top, functionally, they are not. Grace is God reaching down in love in Jesus Christ, forgiving, cleansing, healing, restoring. That's grace. A king can be gracious to a subject. A king can demonstrate grace, which another definition would be love in action. But a subject can never be gracious to a king. A subject can love a king can love a subject. But grace is always coming down as a gift. Charis, that's what the word means. It's always coming down, but it can never go back up. Whereas love crosses itself ideally. And here Jesus is saying to Paul and to you and to me and the person in the back of the balcony and the back of the choir, my grace is adequate for you in every situation. And then he goes on to say, now I emphasize that verse and you've forgotten it already. He says, I take pleasure. Pleasure. This isn't just some Bible preaching Sunday morning stuff. Paul says, I take absolute pleasure in necessities, in persecution, in suffering, in tribulation. I take pleasure in all this, says Paul, because I discovered why that thorn's in my life. Why was it there? Go back and look at 1, 2, 3, 4 verses there of the chapter. It's there. so Paul would not become a victim of spiritual pride. I dislike a lot of things, a lot of people as a human being. But the most noisiest of individuals I know are those who have religious and spiritual pride. That's been the most troublesome group of folks that I've ever had to deal with in a church. The idea that I've got it. What's wrong with you? The spirit of the Pharisee. The spirit of legalism. The spirit of narrowness. And Paul is saying, look, I've had a great experience. The Lord Jesus Christ took me up, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know. I was taken up to the third heaven, and I was shown things, I was told things, I was revealed things that I cannot utter. It's a sacred thing. I have plenty to have pride about and to be built up about, said Paul. But he said, so I would not get taken up on some ego trip. This thorn came to me, and that constant pain, that nagging pain reminds me that how weak and how finite I am and how I have to lean on Jesus Christ so that in my weakness He can show off His power and His strength. All right, what about your thorn and what about my thorn? What's the Lord going to do about your problem and my problem, whatever it might be? He's going to deal with you and He's going to deal with me uniquely and individually. It's going to be a unique way He's going to deal with your problem. He's going to deal with my problem, your thorn and my thorn. That's just how He works, in a personal way. He's going to be sufficient for exactly what you need, may be different in His sufficiency for what somebody else needs. In a mission in New York City, two alcoholics from the street, derelicts, walked down the aisle at the same time and accepted Jesus Christ and found His cleansing and His healing and His wholeness. Both of them went to work with other alcoholics ministering to them, but one moved away to a distant city over 1,000 miles from where his friend was serving. Both of them worked with alcoholics in the name of Jesus Christ for over 26 years. Finally, they bumped into each other at a convention, and they were just remembering that night when they came off the street and walked down that aisle, accepted Jesus Christ, recalling the joy they felt in their encounter with Him. And the first man said, you know, since that night, I've never had the taste for liquor one second. I've never desired anything to drink. Since that night, I have been completely reformed and healed. The second man said, I wish I could say that, but it's not true. He said, for me, the truth is, every day for 26 years, I've had a desire to drink, but he says, I've never touched a drop of it. What's good for this person is different for this person, and Jesus Christ personalizes His grace for you and for me. He can take the weakest point in your life, the weakest point in my life, and make it His stronghold. When we say His grace is sufficient, this doesn't mean that we're in a fort and we're just bounded out and I'm just holding on. His grace is sufficient. I can stand up under this thorn or these thorns. I can make it here. That's not the picture at all. It's a picture of just opening up our weaknesses and our thorns to Him, and He comes and gives us His power and shows off His strength, and He uses thorns when the person who has the thorn allows them to be used. Henry Morehouse had a custom. Every time he was gone for a period of time, he would bring a, you know, a particularly large or fairly expensive present for his wife. He'd bring candy or something for the children, but the big gift was always to his wife. He'd been gone for over a month, and he came home. He opened the door. His children came around. He gave them some candy, but he had that present for his wife. It was heavy this time. And one little girl who'd been born crippled, when she was in the house, she just didn't use her crutches or anything. She just pushed herself around on the floor. That's the way she got around. And she was a vivacious little girl, and she looked up at her daddy and said, "Daddy, let me carry the present to Mama." And he said, "Carolyn, you can't do that. You know you can't carry the present and in the back of the house to your mother. It's too heavy." She said, "Oh, Daddy, come on, let me carry the present. I can do it." And he was reticent. He didn't want to embarrass her. But then he caught a little twinkle in her eye. Just a little twinkle of humor. And he said, well, okay. And he handed her the heavy present. And she took it in her arms and she said, "All right now, Daddy, you pick me up and I'll carry it to Mama." What's your thorn? Jesus Christ with his everlasting arms can come into your life and my life and pick us up. And he can take that which is the weakest area of your life and my life and make it the very strongest area until we learn to glory and to praise even in the middle of a thorny, thorny life. What's this all about? Jesus Christ, his grace is a Rolls Royce. That's what it means. His grace is a Rolls Royce. Adequate. Sufficient. And he can take the weakest thing about me and the weakest thing about you and make it that very point of you're of our greatest strength. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted along the way, but left me none the wiser for what she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. "Nary a word," said she. But oh, what I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. His grace is a Rolls Royce. It's sufficient. It's adequate. Dear Father, our Father, if there is somebody here this morning, man or woman, father or mother, grandfather, single, teenager, student, there's someone here this morning, dear Father, who's still burdened by their own sin and their own lives, may this be the time in which they publicly say, "I want to receive the grace, the cleansing, the forgiveness that God offers in His Son, Jesus Christ. Without apology, without shame, I'm going to come down these aisles and accept Him as Savior and Lord." Others, Father, may be looking for a church where they can worship and serve. They need to be a part of this body, not because it's perfect, but because it's imperfect because it's a group of sinners who are hungry and hypocrites who are seeking to know Thee and to know Thy Word and to live by it. Some need to come by letter, by statement, saying, this is where I belong. God has led me in this place. Others may need to rededicate their lives to You, dear Father. Use this time, I pray, in the strong, holy name of the One who just piles grace upon grace, adequate right now for what we need, for where we are, with every beat of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.